WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. A development in the WikiLeaks case. CBS's Robert Legarry.
WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange has agreed to plead guilty to violating the Espionage Act and is expected to appear in a U.S. courtroom on the Northern Mariana Islands, which is a U.S. territory, in the coming days. Court documents reveal he's expected to plead guilty to one count of violating the Espionage Act.
After heavy rain, a Minnesota dam is breached by floodwaters. One person in South Dakota has died. And as CBS's Jonah Kaplan in Spencer, Iowa reports.
This is not exactly, you know, a coastal area. This isn't a place where a lot of people have flood insurance. And now they're learning just how devastating financially this disaster is going to be.
A Chicago man is the recipient of a new kidney transplanted while he was awake. Surgeons at Northwestern gave John Nicholas a spinal epidural, nerve block, and light sedation to bypass risks associated with general anesthesia.
I asked, you know, at one point, hey, are you guys, when are you going to get started? And they're like, oh, yeah, we've already been working for a while.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Wisconsin Supreme Court is ordering the six groups in the legislative redistricting lawsuit to split the cost of the two consultants the court hired to review new options. The total bill is $128,000. The court ended up not having to rule. Governor Evers and the legislature reached a deal on new maps themselves. Milwaukee is busy getting ready for the Republican National Convention. Peggy Williams-Smith is president and CEO of Visit Milwaukee. She tells the Milwaukee Press Club that hosting the RNC is already paying off beyond July's convention.
We will make an announcement very soon in August of an event that would have never considered Milwaukee without the expansion and knowing that we were hosting the RNC.
More than 50,000 people are expected to come. I'm Terry Bell. Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. Firefighters across the state say they're seeing more wildfires this year than last, but fewer acres of land being burned. According to a WEAU report, through June 20th this year, the state has seen 774 wildfires compared to 592 last year, but the amount of land burned has decreased by about 60%. Officials say they're seeing more fires that start as a result of equipment use like lawnmowers and ATVs, and with a lack of snow over the winter, the state's vegetation is more likely to go up in smoke. A fundraiser will be hosted in Cameron this week to remember Cameron police officer Hunter Scheel and Chatech officer Emily Breidenbach, who were killed in the line of duty. According to a WQOW report, Tim Chaussey from the Blue Hills Sportsman Club and Cameron police chief Adam Steffen will host a memorial trap shooting event on Saturday, and the entry fees from the event will be donated to the Chatech and Cameron police departments. Registration for the event is available online through the Blue Hills website. And that's what you need to know. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
Baseball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers and the defending World Series champs, the Texas Rangers, reload again tonight at AmFam Field in Milwaukee. Last night, the Brewers with a 6-3 win. Right-hander Freddy Peralta striking out six, allowing two runs in five innings, but he thanked Rhys Hoskins for his grand slam in the sixth.
You know, Rhys, he was a little struggling. You know, everything sometimes for a reason. Look now, he was the man for the game. He just hit a homer with the bases loaded. That's perfect.
Hockey, the Florida Panthers with a 2-1 victory over the Oilers to win their first Stanley Cup.
It is about the result, obviously. So that's where the mind goes. How do I get them back to that place that they can play with enough freedom so we have structure and we have discipline and all that? But what we needed to and what we were different about tonight is that we played with some freedom. We didn't play the game not to make the mistakes and certainly not to lose, but we tried to win the game.
That's the Panthers head coach Paul Maurice on ESPN after the win. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny, highs in the low 80s, mostly clear tonight with a low around 60. Sunshine, 75 on your Wednesday. For Thursday, chance of showers and thunderstorms with a high around 76. On Friday, showers, maybe a thunderstorm, again highs in the mid-70s.
Right now, it's 70.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Brian, do you buy your tickets on Ticketmaster?
Whether I want to or not, I do.
Bella Devan. We're going to talk a little bit about monopolies.
Live Nation and Ticketmaster together control 80% of the primary ticketing market. They have the market power to bully people into submission. And then you trap consumers into basically having to pay like junk fees that are basically created to create profit for the company.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
When I smoke weed, I get lost in the music. I like to isolate each instrument. The rhythmic bass, the harmonies on the piano, the sticky melody.
Hey, careful, babe. There's someone crossing the street.
Sorry, I didn't see him there.
If you feel different, you drive different. Don't drive high. It's dangerous and illegal everywhere. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Jane Matinere and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we'll recap the overnight storms. Hopefully everyone is okay. Then we're going to talk to Eitan Levine about his quest to raise money for the Make-A-Wish Foundation. Join us.
Matinere on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Hey, what's up, man?
Brother, what's up? It's just a
big party, man.
Good morning and welcome to a stormy Tuesday morning on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Calvin, did you get caught in any of the rain?
I didn't get caught in it, but there were, on my way in, there were two streetlights that the power was out to, so they had stop signs up.
Well, streetlight. Well, you're fortunate.
Traffic lights.
Man, when I began to come out here to Waukesha from Milwaukee, there were sheets of rain all the way into Waukesha, and you know, people don't understand if you're on the expressway and you're the guy going 45 and 50, why do people behind you blowing when you see and there's hydroplaning where there's water standing on the expressway and they can't see your car going through and gushes of water coming from behind your car, and they're still blowing. There's a wiser guy in the room. Let's ask him. Good morning, well, to you, Sandy.
My theory on driving speed is you don't drive any faster than you can see. But I'm amazed when I'm having trouble seeing 40 feet in front of me and someone passes me going 60. It's like, well, they're not going to see the accident before it happens.
No.
It'll be merciful. It'll just happen.
But there's so many people, Sandy. By the way, good morning to you. How you doing?
I'm all right. I'm pretty good. You know, I cowered. I staged my departure till after the storm blew through, actually.
It was, you know, Sandy, the storms that we are getting, you know, and what's going on weather-wise all over, you know, the world.
Well, but the Midwest, you know, the upper Midwest, Minnesota. I've got a twin sister who lives up there, and a dam about 30 miles from her house, that Mankato Dam, just collapsed. It threatens the city of Mankato.
Oh, it did.
Yeah. And South Dakota has got huge flooding and bridges out. And so, you know, what they're saying is that it's the amount of rain that is coming with storms now that has changed dramatically, and that this notion of 100-year floods has to be totally reevaluated, because places are experiencing 100-year floods every 5, 6, and 7 years.
You know,
so they aren't any longer 100-year floods.
You know, I was reading something the other day, and I was going to talk about it. I didn't get to it, and I didn't talk about it, didn't put it on the list today. But now that you mentioned that, I was reading something the other day, Sandy, that said people are you know, cutting their house insurance, their homeowners insurance, because of the increased costs.
Yeah, well, I mean, what happens is you, in order to have a mortgage, the person lending you the money wants to make sure you have catastrophic loss insurance for your house. That used to mean basically fire insurance. But increasingly, flood insurance has become a concern because floods take out many more houses than a single house fire has a low probability. When a flood comes, multiple houses are going to get damaged substantially. And so flood insurance is actually very expensive in an area where the insurance company perceives the potential that there could be floods. Down in Florida, it's making it impossible almost for people to get mortgages in lots of areas where that might be flood prone because they can't get flood insurance, and so they can't get a mortgage. And that's going to become increasingly a concern in the north central part of the country where floods have become more common.
But you know, Sandy, in Texas and other places, and a lot of it has to do, Sandy, I believe, with the fact that people who own homes outright are the ones who are taking the risk and saying, hey, wait a minute. You want me to, I paid my mortgage off.
Right.
And now I'm paying for insurance that was probably equal to what my mortgage used to be.
Well, in fact, insurance can be, I was talking to an Uber driver down in Florida when I was down there, and he said this, the flood insurance was more expensive than his mortgage.
Wow. Know,
it was like, I forget what he said, like $10,000 a year.
And wow.
That wasn't as much as the mortgage that he had in his house, monthly payments at least. And so, yeah, I mean, I think that California, where wildfires are going crazy, insurance has gone way up there too. So this is one of the costs of climate change is that the potential for mass casualty losses of property has made it much more expensive to insure property.
You know, Sandy, it's still this ongoing drumbeat about, you know, climate change is not real. And you continue to hear, you know, people say those things. And I don't understand the average person who looks around and sees all of these things happening. You and I have been living a while. They've happened before. You know, hurricanes and floods and all those things have always happened, but not to the degree and the severity, Sandy, that we see them consistently.
Yeah, I was listening to a scientist who was on the radio yesterday talking about the extent to which human conduct has contributed to climate change. Because there's no doubt that climate change is an ongoing phenomena that's gone on forever with
right.
respect to our planet. The question is, how much is human conduct accelerating climate change? And this person called in and said, well, when are you going to put someone on the radio that's going to talk on the other side of this issue? And the scientist said, well, there isn't another side of this issue with respect to the facts, at least.
Right.
You know, we've got carbon dioxide data that's been taken for a couple of centuries, or at least we've been able to figure it out retroactively over a couple of centuries. And we're able to see what's happened to the carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, as well as the temperature data that we've kept for over 100 years. All of these are facts, and they all demonstrate that climate change is happening now at a rate that's never been seen in the history that can be determined by the scientists that has occurred over the millennials. And so, you know, it is kind of crazy that with respect to scientific facts, we still want people to have an argument. It's like the flat earthers. I mean, are we going to have that argument too?
You know, Sandy, to totally dismiss scientists, you know, I don't know if it probably did happen in the past, but not to the degree that you just dismiss a scientist as being a kook.
Well, it did. You know, that was the Dark Ages, actually, and that was the pre-Renaissance.
The Dark Ages.
Before Galileo. I mean, the Catholic Church actually was dismissing science because it ran contrary, you know, the notion.
The religious beliefs, right.
Yeah, yeah. So some of those scientists were viewed as heretics because of what they were saying, and it ran contrary to some literal interpretations of the Bible. But, you know, I think the concern here is that there is climate change. Human conduct is contributing to it. What we ought to be debating is what's the proper level of response that we ought to be taking. What can work? What can have an effect? What is the cost of the various options? But we can't be deniers. You know, it doesn't work to deny that there's the problem. What we ought to do is say, yeah, there's a problem. What should we do about it? And the argument ought to be, what should we do about it?
Well, you know, Sandy, the answer can't be, well, we as Americans, China is worse than we are, or Russia is worse than we are. They're more guilty than we are. So, yeah. You know, why are we doing this? Yeah. Because they're not doing it.
Tommy was lighting matches. Why can't I? No, really. I mean, it's the same argument right. that you make to your parent when you're 6 years old. I mean, Tommy was lighting matches. Why are you getting mad at me?
Yeah, it just, for the life of me, Sandy, I don't understand these inherent dangers that we see every day with our own eyes, right? We see these things with our own eyes.
Well, I mean, you know, what scientists would say is, you know, the storm yesterday is an anecdote, okay? That's one event. What we're looking at is a whole long series term, of events, right. and a whole set of data, and that's what they're looking at. And that's what that's what the world scientists have reached agreement on. And now the question ought to be, like I said, what do we do about it? What are the right responses? And, you know, I think there are legitimate arguments about what the scope of the response ought to be, what the right responses are. But the right answer is not a denial of the situation or the problem.
Well, you know, Sandy, the right answer can't be drill, baby, drill. In the face of, it's easy to say drill, baby, drill, right?
Well, drill, baby, drill doesn't even have anything to do with the reality of the supplies of oil or the price of oil, in fact, to speak of. You know, it's really catering, I suppose, to a bunch of people who want to drill for oil, but it's not really catering to the interests of the American public or even the oil-consuming public, because what we need to do if we drill, baby, drill is we have to build refineries. And building refineries are something that companies are not lining up to do because they're terribly expensive, and the return on that investment is not very promising.
All right, let's go to Mary from Wauwatosa. Hey, good morning to you, Mary. How you doing? It's early in the morning.
Good morning.
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Yeah. Good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for focus on this important subject. The comment that I believe made me a believer regarding climate change and global warming and intent on doing anything and everything I can do to, help the cause was hearing that the strength of the vegetation on Earth, you know, the plants and the trees, if humanity doesn't survive, we can be sure that the planet and the vegetation is going to well survive us. It was very moving for me. And let's take notice and get on board with helping the cause. Thanks for focus.
Hey, Mary, thank you very much for the call. You know, Sandy, unfortunately, it's a hard sell for so many people because they don't see it happening immediately. They can't conceive.
Well, it takes a long planning horizon. You know, I think that the name of the Al Gore documentary movie, that Inconvenient Truth, that's what it is. It's like an inconvenient truth. If you buy into the notion that we have to spend some money now to try and defer a problem out in the future, then you've got to deprive yourself of something, and you might not live to realize the benefit of it. And so, you know, this is about the me. This is a little bit more of the me generation response.
All right, 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesday with my co-host Sandy Williams, and on the other side, we're going to talk a little bit about gun violence, the number one cause of death for children in our nation. 844-967-2789 is the number.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
What makes Wisconsin Dells such a big deal? Well, big splashes for one, big rides too, big shows, big boats, and big scenery. The bigger the better. Water parks? They're a pretty big deal around here. Big families? You bet. Small ones too. Mini golf? Big time. 19 plus million gallons of water? No biggie. Water slides? Big, bigger, biggest. Big attractions? Check. Big theme parks? Check. Big meals? Check, please. Wisconsin Dells. Now that's big. Go to wisdells.com and plan your trip today.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones. Check 511WI.gov or download the app for road work or closures on your route. Know before you go with 511 Wisconsin, sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Talk of Eau Claire, 93.5 The Tap, and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
Welcome back to a Tuesday edition of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Sandy, I and I'm waiting for my computer that just froze to come back up.
You mean your teleprompter isn't working?
Calvin is my teleprompter.
Yeah.
He'll have a piece of paper with what I'm supposed to be looking at. But I wanted to talk about gun violence and the Surgeon General of the United States, who is now saying that gun violence is and children dying from guns, number one cause of death for children in our nation. Sandy, when are we going to accept the fact that this has to be addressed? It can be changed.
It's an interesting concept to put out a warning about guns, because that doesn't infringe the right to have a gun, but it tells you about what the risks are associated with having a gun. You know, gun warnings, I suspect, if they were written, would tell you that if you have a gun in your household, the most likely person to get killed with a gun is someone in your household. And that's, I think, a fact. I've got a colleague that I met that's one of the lead surgeons in Children's Hospital here in the emergency room. And to talk to him is to talk to someone who is horrified by the prospect of guns in households because of the horror that he sees of young people dying from guns. You know, I think anyone who works in an emergency room will tell you that guns are a horrific source of terrible injuries and death, and they see it regularly. You know, if you look at the statistics comparing the United States in terms of per capita deaths from guns to any other country in the world, we are off the charts. Canada, north of us, I think has 651 gun deaths last year. We had, I don't know what, 37,000.
You know, Sandy, here it is. Gun violence, an urgent public health crisis. Surgeon General wants warnings on guns. It just is nonsensical to me. The soaring number of children killed by firearms has created an urgent public health crisis worthy of the response the government took to preventing cigarette smoking or car accidents, the nation's top doctor said in a first-of-its-kind announcement Tuesday. In an advisory, U.S. Surgeon General Vivek Murthy said gun violence demands a public health approach rather than the polarizing political response that is numbed Americans and public officials to enacting change as gun violence becomes the leading cause of death in children. Sandy, children, right?
Yeah.
We're not talking about adults, even though we know that it probably is right up there. But if we can't have a discussion, a sensical discussion about our children being killed by guns, my God, what kind of nation are we?
Well, you know, I think that this is an interesting route to take, because I think it's a hard one to argue against the notion that you should put a warning, at least on a firearm, to describe the immense risks that are associated with a firearm. We put a warnings on cigarettes because of the danger that it poses to the individual smoking. And actually, one of the most likely people to get killed by a firearm
is
the owner of the firearm, who's most likely to take his own life or her own life. It just makes a lot of sense to me, and I'll be interested in seeing what kind of a debate arises about it, and how much the gun rights people decide that this is too offensive to even countenance something like a warning associated with guns.
Well, the gun rights people don't care about the carnage. They don't care about all of these people dying.
Well, I want a tribute to people not caring, but they seem to be so adamant about guns and fearful about the notion that the access to guns could be restricted. And I've never really heard a clear description of what it is that people, you know, the people who are so adamant about gun rights, and particularly gun rights to, for instance, assault rifles, what it is they think those guns are to be used for that makes it so fundamental to American liberties. Because it isn't hunting. You know, hunting is something that everyone agrees with. There's no debate about that. We wouldn't have 400 million guns. We wouldn't have 20 million assault rifles if hunting was what was the drive here. And if it was self-defense, we also, I don't think, would have the kind of guns we have and the numbers of guns we have, because self-defense, if you look at the data, it doesn't justify, guns aren't really justified from the notion of self-defense. Very few people have used their gun for the purpose of self-defense.
You know, Sandy, Tony says these folks must have no traction on their shoes because they are terrified of any perceived slippery slope. Very well said. And I will say to you, Sandy, that, you know, handguns aren't made to shoot, you know, yeah, to hunt with.
People don't hunt with handguns because you got to be standing within 15 feet of your target to have much likelihood of hitting it.
The high-powered weapons that you're talking about aren't the same thing. They aren't made. They are created to shoot human beings.
Certainly not automatic rifles, not assault rifles that shoot and can shoot repeatedly out of a magazine. No, none of that is hunting material whatsoever. Now, you could say, well, I mean, the people who want assault rifles would say, well, the criminals have them, so we need them. But I don't think that that's really the justification, because the fact is that there's no evidence that they've ever with only anecdotal evidence periodically of someone using a gun effectively in their own self-defense against a criminal. So, you know, that isn't the way guns get deployed, and the use of them in self-defense is so rare that to justify that particular use for them is a leap of faith.
Over 50,000 Americans are killed every year from gun violence in Vietnam at the height of the war, and even all the years that war went on.
Well, that's the number we lost in total.
Yes. Yes. I mean, you have to give that some thought in a full-out war. 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams and you on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Lawyers for the Wisconsin Justice Department don't want people with disabilities to vote electronically from home this fall. There was a hearing in a lawsuit yesterday. The Attorney General's lawyers tell the judge it would be confusing and risky. Voters with disabilities say they have a right to a secret ballot. The judge says he'll rule in a few days. Debt collection on student loans in default resume in September. Advocates want the U.S. Department of Education to expand outreach efforts to borrowers who've fallen behind.
The Department of Ed is just missing a whole chunk of people. And so we really heard from a variety of outreach experts that you need to reach people through multiple mediums. So we'd love to see more texting and creative ideas like push notifications, things like that, reaching borrowers where they actually are on their phones.
Tia Caldwell is with the group New America. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. A Chippewa Valley Middle School student has been named the first ever state Civics Bee champion. According to a WEAU report, Raya Musavi is a student at the Long Middle School and made it to the state competition as the runner-up in the regional Civics Bee earlier this month. Her essay featured her thoughts on changes she wanted to see in the education system, which the judges determined was the best in the state. She will now advance to the National Civics Bee, representing the entire state of Wisconsin. Augusta area agencies responded to reports of a person struggling in the Eau Claire River on Saturday afternoon, but after an unsuccessful search, authorities have declared the person missing. According to a WEAU report, Augusta Bridge Creek Fire and Rescue organized the search near Black Bear Road and Highway 27 after receiving the call at around 2:30, but had to discontinue it due to inclement weather around 6 p.m. Another search was started on Sunday beginning at 9 a.m., but the person still has not been found. And that's what you need to know. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Justin Timberlake, while performing in front of a sold-out crowd in Chicago, addressed his recent driving while sloppy drunk charge in the Hamptons from the stage, telling the audience it's been a tough week. The crowd, most of whom probably spent an entire paycheck to get in, went crazy, showing rabid support for their idol as he continues to negotiate through this difficult time of leaving million-dollar homes and $100,000 cars and flying private jets to work. This kid's gonna be okay. Swifties come in all shapes and sizes, even ones that look like actors Hugh Grant and Tom Cruise. Both were spotted separately at Swift's Eras Tour in London at Wembley Stadium. Cruise was spotted trying to lay low. English thespian Grant, however, posted on social media giving high praise for Swift, her team, and Travis Kelce, after which he hashtagged tequila shots. Sounds like a wild night, but don't worry. Justin Timberlake was their designated driver. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny, highs in the low 80s, mostly clear tonight with a low around 60. Sunshine, 75 on your Wednesday. For Thursday, chance of showers and thunderstorms with a high around 76. On Friday, showers, maybe a thunderstorm, again highs in the mid-70s.
Right now, 71 degrees.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver, and I dedicate a lot of my time going fast. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently or having trouble with routine tasks. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services and access available treatments. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. Visit alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
This broad reaching, well, we can't help people because we can't control how they spend the money, somehow magically doesn't apply to billionaires, doesn't apply to corporations who dodge their taxes every year. The only people who are subject to the conservative morality police are poor people. How dare you?
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome host of the WRJN Morning Show here on Civic Media, Don Rosen, who talks celebrity encounters. And Wisconsinology's Frank Anderson joins to discuss weird Wisconsin.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9.
Oh,
at the reception. A glass of wine in her hand. I knew she was gonna meet her connection. At her feet was a footloose man. You can't always get what you want.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. And Sandy, the music.
Yeah, well, I picked the Stones. Mick Jagger is still living the dream. He's a peer. You know, he's an old guy. And I picked music that sort of maybe had something to do with what's going on today. Like, you know, maybe we can't get what we want, but hopefully we'll get what we need.
You know, man, that song, the introduction to that song, I was trying to let it get to the point where, you know, it's just a powerful, powerful, well done opening.
Yeah.
To a song.
I think it was a church choir too. I think it's choir into heavy rock.
Well, yeah, but the trombones and the French horns and the tubas and all of that. And a rock song is kind of what, you know, I think was interesting. But anyway, Sandy, there's talk, U.S. possibly, you know, ending the all-volunteer military because they're short. They just can't get people to enlist. There hasn't been a draft since 1973. What are your thoughts?
Well, I lived under the draft, and you know it's a specter that's worrisome, but I think it's something that we should never have abandoned. I think everyone in the country should face the prospect of military. If we're going to go to war, I think having a bunch of volunteer warriors makes it more likely that we do things that we maybe aren't as careful about our military adventures as we would be if we all are exposed to the potential, number one. Number two, I think it's good for the military to be comprised of all different parts of us. I think it always was a positive social factor. I think it was a very positive thing in terms of promoting comfortable integration. After the military became integrated, God knows it took too long to do that. But So, I'm for it. And you mentioned off the air that they were talking about having women subject to the draft as well. I think that's okay, too. I think warfare has changed a great deal. There's drone warfare. There's going to be lots of automated warfare. There's lots of, you know, the fact is that in the military, only about 1 in 10 people serve in combat in a circumstance even of war. So that there's plenty of people in the military doing things that aren't front line to the extent that there might be concern about having women on the front line. But I, for one, believe that they probably can play that role as well. The Israeli military has very successfully integrated women into their military, and I think a number of other countries have as well.
You know, Sandy, I think, you know, one of the things and one of the reasons why they can't get people into the military as much as they used to, the specter of Iraq and Afghanistan is still there. We were at war for 16, 17, 20 years.
Yeah, I mean, the fact was that it used to be, you know, when we were exposed to the draft, there was the Vietnamese War, but otherwise, if you got drafted, there was very low likelihood that you'd be in combat. In today's world, if you volunteer for the military, it's very likely that you could be deployed to a hot zone, okay? And when you're in a hot zone, whether you end up being in a dangerous circumstance, the odds of it has gone way up. And certainly there have been a lot of warriors who've come back from the wars and have had stories to tell about what it's like to be in combat. And the fact is that combat is a terrible circumstance to survive through.
You know, Sandy, we love our veterans, but many of us aren't willing to become veterans. I mean, you know, it's easy to say.
Well, the fact is that if you look at the Congress, the numbers of people in Congress who are veterans or have children in the military is a very small fraction. And those that are well known to us. Because you know, we've got a lot of people making decisions about what our military will be doing who don't and haven't had their own skin in the game.
You know, Sandy, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, people were honored to say, my son is joining the military. And they would say, and they would say, hey, I'm proud. My son is, he's in the military. And even strong middle-class families had their sons, successful business people had their sons who were joining the military, Sandy. That's not the case anymore.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I suspect there are still people who are definitely proud of their children who go into the military. But I think the story that the military is told, you know, that they're keeping America safe has been belied by the wars that we were in and the circumstances and the extent to which they were actually connected to the reality of American safety. And so all of that has probably made more suspect the notion of joining the military to do what is essentially good, okay, to do the good patriotic thing and to keep America safe. That is the story, and that is the role of the military, but I think a lot of people have come to worry about whether that's how it's been deployed.
Well, you know, Sandy, and before we go to the phone lines, you know, it's easy, I think, when you look at the Vietnam vet and what happened to the Vietnam vet and the fact that, you know, Agent Orange that they were exposed to and those men in their early 20s coming back from that war complained about what they were exposed to. And we had a nation that refused to address it until those men got in their 60s.
Well,
and same thing with the burn pits
in Iraq,
in Iraq and Afghanistan, yeah. and our nation refused to live up to its end of that, and so people see those things, Sandy, and you know, we can't as a nation say we support our veterans when we know that we've done some things that weren't right to the veterans. And the veterans had to come and fight and crawl and fight Congress for compensation.
Yeah, I do believe, however, that national service, compulsory national service, is a good idea. And I think it could be a good bridge for a whole lot of young people, a good bridge into the workplace. I think national service needn't necessarily be military, but I think that it would also create a much closer bond between the people of this country and the country, okay? And I think we missed the boat by leaving the draft behind in 1973 and relying on volunteer militarism, which kind of divided the country between those who serve and those who don't.
Before we go to the phone lines, Tony, when I was around 20, I told my mom I was thinking about joining the military, and she asked if I was trying to give her a heart attack. Brendan, look at all the soldiers who had their tours extended by no choice of their own. Brendan, Germany, South Korea, Iraq, Taiwan, etc. Let's go to the phone lines and Al from Milwaukee. Good morning to you, Al. You say what?
I didn't catch the beginning of this statement, but...
Okay, so let me tell you quickly. So the beginning of it was U.S. shouldn't draft women or men. We need to keep an all-volunteer military, but there is conversations going on right now in Congress about whether or not, because of the shortage in the military, whether or not the draft should come back. Your thoughts? You're a Vietnam veteran, wounded veteran.
The draft should have never ended. And part of that is what Sandy said about the training. But you got to remember different times during this our country that there were no jobs. And companies, especially after the 60s, started moving out of the country to make more money. The draft fell apart. And the point is that a lot of these young people who are out here on drugs and all these other things today have no training beyond high school. Many of them don't even complete high school. And going into the military would have given them some independence from their home situation and a lot of training towards a career and or a discipline to be able to survive. See, that's the other part of this, survival training. A lot of young people today don't have that type of background to be able to survive in the environment that we put them in. But as far as the draft, I think it should come back and it should be open to everybody. People do this all over the world. They don't just draft men. They draft everyone of age who is physically able to serve. And when we came back from Nam, I walked off of a boat in San Francisco and a woman leaned over the rail and spit on me. I had a gun in my hand, but I didn't have any bullets. But if I had the bullets, I would have killed her. And I got to Atlanta and through the airport, and a woman walked up to me and called me a murderer. I'm in full dress uniform and spit on my uniform. That's how we were treated when we came back after all the mess we went through. And you see, when they send people to war, they don't expect you to come back. They send you to fight to die. Some of us didn't do that. We got wounded, but we didn't die. I brought my first cousin's body back in 1967, and I volunteered and went back because I didn't die yet. And I'm still struggling with that war that I went into that I'm fighting every day in this country because of the color of my skin. That's all I got.
So, Al, thank you very much for the call. You know, Sandy, Al is right that all over the world, it's mandatory military, 2 years. You don't have a choice.
It's a year or 2 years. I mean, yeah. In Norway and lots and lots of countries across the world. And I totally agree with Al. I think that the experience in the military at the stage in which people would be taken into the military at age 19, 20, 21, 22 could have a very significant impact on improving the lot of their lives going forward, as well as improving the lot of our nation in terms of how we deal with one another and how we deal with our country.
No question. That force discipline makes all the sense in the world. 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with Sandy Williams on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy, and today's work money word is fiduciary. Well, fiduciary is a mega important term that you gotta know when it comes to getting professional financial advice. In the world of money, you want someone committed to the fiduciary standard because those folks are legally obligated to act in your best interest only. I mean, every other broker or advisor or banker who has not specifically committed to the fiduciary standard and told you that that's what they're doing, those folks don't have that obligation. They could be selling you products or encouraging you to invest in things or put your money in places that end up helping their wallet even more than yours. So simply put, anytime that you are hiring a financial advisor, ask them if they uphold the fiduciary standard. For me and mine, fiduciary advisors are the only ones I'm trusting my money to. That was your Work Money Minute. For more, check out workmoney.org. This is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
myself. I'm a man of wealth and taste. I've been around for a long, long year. Stole many a man's soul and faith. I was around when Jesus Christ had his moment of doubt and pain. Made damn sure the pilot washed his hands and sealed his face. Pleased to meet you.
All right. Welcome back to a Tuesday edition of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesday is my co-host, Sandy. I'm so Sandy. Donald Trump suggests that Joe Biden take a drug test before the debate and after the debate. Now, he's not alone, Sandy. I was watching conservative outlets, news outlets last night, and the story led by Joe Biden should take a drug test. As I'm driving here this morning, conservative radio, Joe Biden should take a drug test. He should be drug tested before the debate. Why? Because here's what Donald Trump said. Trump suggests Biden take a drug test as allies continue attacks before debate. I would also immediately agree to one. The former president wrote in capital letters on his social media platform. Former President Donald Trump suggested on Monday that President Joe Biden should submit to a drug test before this week's debate, building on his unfounded claims that his rival in the November presidential election would be all jacked up on illicit substances when they meet in Atlanta.
I think personally, I think Joe Biden ought to bring his birth certificate as well. I mean, just so he can prove his bona fides. I mean, this is all about managing expectations. This is all about a conspiracy theory, you know, laying out something for people to consider that might stick on the wall. They've obviously done polls. You know, he did remarkably well in the State of the Union. And so their explanation for the State of the Union speech was he was all jacked up. You know, did you see how tired he got at the end of that speech? You know, they started trying to come up with a theory because they're running against what they claim to be a doddering old man who can't put words together. And so if he does a good job, they need to say, well, that's not real. That's fake. And so, you know, they've started this process. But it has, it, once again, we've got a process started that has no factual basis whatsoever. None. There's been no suggestion by anyone who has in a credible position that somehow the president is using performance-enhancing drugs. You know, did he have coffee? Did he did he have a couple of Coca-Colas before? I mean, what's the deal?
When you know, do you start? Caffeine
is maybe an enhancing drug.
Well, Sandy, when do you start dismissing this?
Donald Trump drinks 12
Diet Cokes
a day. He's pretty jacked up.
When do you start dismissing this as insanity?
Well,
how can you take people seriously?
Well, it's not insanity. It's much more invidious than that. This is a theory. Obviously, I think what's happened is that those who are the conservative right understand that they don't have the numbers, okay? And so they've got to fight a war that's based on strategies like, number one, total unity. You know, they all have to be talking from exactly the same page about exactly the same thing, because they've learned from all the propagandists that does then resonate with the people, right? If they hear the same thing from a number of people, psychiatrists and psychologists will tell you that it begins to gain credibility, whether it's incredible or not. You know, the Martians are coming. If enough people who look like they might know tell us that, we will have an hysterical world reaction about the Martians coming, and people will start talking about it as if it's happening.
Well, Joe Biden is a liar. The Democrats are lying nonstop. Joe Biden's a liar. He's a liar. How dare they fix their mouths to say Joe Biden is a liar when we've got all of this proof that their guy, every time he opens his mouth, if what you would think is that if I had a guy I was supporting who they've got proof and they keep a record and number of the lies that he's told, the last thing I would do, Sandy, would be to accuse somebody else of lying.
Well, you know, one of the best things you can do if you're accused of something is accuse the other person of it, you know, and it's like the kid on the playground, you know, you know, you stink too. And whatever you say bounces off of you and bounces back to you. Yeah. You know, it's the whole thing. But, again, I think this is all because the party that doesn't have the numbers has got to have a strategy, and their strategy involves unity, a unity of position. And it's clear when you can see it happening. You can hear it happening with talking points that are repeated everywhere. And it's almost as if the talking points are sent out with smoke signals. I don't know how they get sent out, except I think they get sent out over the various news media that are viewed as the legitimate right news media. Those talking points get picked up. I think Donald Trump dictates talking points. I mean, he's certainly the one who dreamed up, I'm sure, the notion that Joe Biden was stoked up on drugs.
Drugs, yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, okay, now we can go with that one. Let's go with it. Maybe it'll work.
Sandy, you know what that sounds like? I mean, we normal people, what that sounds like? Okay, so anything that comes to mind, you know, we can't win this on facts.
I remember the saying, I'm rubber and you're glue, and everything you say bounces off me and sticks to you. That's what we got going here.
Sandy, but those were children.
Yeah. I can remember that. I'm pleased with that.
Sandy, those were during the times that you were a child. We're talking about adults.
Well,
they've taken this on.
Well, I think conspiracy theories generally and this whole notion of pulling the rug out from underneath reality and having everyone operate on sort of an ideological basis, it's all consistent with that.
All right, guys, hang on the line. We'll come right to you, 844-967-2789. Joe Biden is going to be all jacked up on drugs, according to Donald Trump and conservative media outlets. What say you? It's Tuesday. It's Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams and you.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time when our friend and executive producer of Civic Media, Mr. Luke Mathers, is in for a Tuesday Tangents. Talk about the upcoming presidential debate, weather, and more. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
What is the worst movie franchise? Do you have one, Conrad?
What are your thoughts on Transformers?
I saw one Transformer movie. I think it was the first one. I didn't even know what the hell was going on.
I can't get into them anymore because, you know, it's the same every movie now.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be nice if you knew which Transformer. I know there's, like, testosterone and overload and whatever, you know.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app. CB.